Okay, turn to Proverbs 10 and verse 10. We're just going to cover one verse tonight. I don't know how long it'll take, but the other one will be way too much to cover two. Proverbs 10 and verse 10. It says, "He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall." So we'll look at that first part first. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. So winking can refer to different things, but as we'll see in this passage, it's referring to a clandestine method of communication that wicked men use to convey nonverbal information to other wicked men. So it's a way of communicating without speaking, without saying anything. And people, I mean, they do this to this day. You can wink at somebody, which can just mean, "Hi, how you doing?" Or it can mean other things, or, you know, it could mean, "Hey, let's get out of here," or, "That guy's an idiot." You know, have you ever seen somebody saying something and somebody else looks at the other person and winks, like, "That guy's a moron, you know, hopefully he'll shut up soon." Like, so winking can mean all kinds of things. And in this case, it is something nefarious, and I'll get into the reason for that here in a minute. So to wink means primarily to close one's eyes. If you think about the verse in Acts 17, when it says, "At the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent," that was referring to the times prior to the gospel going out to the nations of the world. And at that time, God closed his eyes to all of their heathenism and idolatry, and he just didn't deal with it and judge it. And then, but now, when the gospel came, it went out to all nations telling them to repent. So in that case, it was referring to closing one's eyes.
He was winking at with the Gentiles who hadn't had the gospel yet. It's not talking mm-hmm. about the Jews there.
No, to the Gentiles, just closing his eyes to it, not dealing with it. To wink also means to give a significant glance as of command, direction, or invitation. Think of significant as being signified, right? So when you give a significant glance, it's a glance that means something. There's some meaning behind the glance, and that can refer to a wink as well. And I believe that that's probably mostly what this verse is referring to, though there could be another application here of actually closing one's eyes, which I'll get to here in a minute. So I'll give you an example from Scripture about how the wicked wink their eye to signal their evil intentions to their co-conspirators. And we got to link up a few verses here together, but you're going to see it, and it's going to be pretty interesting, I think. In Psalm 35 and verse 19, we see that this happened to Jesus Christ, and as we tie all these verses together here, it'll become very plain. Psalm 35 and verse 19, this is a psalm of David, and as is the case with many of David's psalms, they are, or at least parts of them, are prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll probably recognize a phrase here that will key you into that. Psalm 35 and verse 19, it says, "Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause." Wink with an eye that hate me without a cause. Does that "hate me without a cause" ring any bells?
Jesus.
Remember what Jesus said of the Jews? He said that they hated me without a cause in John 15 and verse 25. And just keep your finger there in Psalm 35 if you haven't lost it already. So we're going to be comparing some verses here. John 15 and verse 25. Here he's talking about the Jews that rejected him and hated him. He says in verse 25, "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that is written in their law," so he's referring to the Jews, the Jewish law, "they hated me without a cause." So he's quoting this verse here in Psalm 35 and another verse, which we'll look at in Psalm 69 in just a second. He's quoting this verse, "They that hate me without a cause." So in Psalm 35, "They that hated him without a cause winked with the eye." Okay, so you want to remember that. These people that hated him were winking with the eye. And we'll see what they were doing by winking with the eye here momentarily. So in Psalm 69, we'll get some more information, and we'll see that these people that he's referring to conspired together to destroy him, which really ties in well with what we looked at in the Suffering and Deliverance series back a couple of months ago, probably, when we went through all the times where they tried to kill Jesus Christ. This is some of those times. This is what this is referring to. Psalm 69 and verse 4 says, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head." There's the verse that Jesus was quoting. "They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away." So you have people here that are hating him without a cause and are trying to destroy him. And when we compare that with Psalm 35:19, they are winking. Okay, so they're winking at each other in order to conspire together to destroy Jesus Christ. Now, just keep in mind that word there, destroy. Okay, so we're going to identify the people that this is referring to. If you turn to Mark 3 and verse 7, Mark 3 and verse 7, I'm going to give you three verses here, and we're going to see who these people are that were hating him without a cause and conspiring together to kill him by winking at each other. Mark 3 and verse 7. Mark 3 and verse 6. It says, "And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." Okay, so there in Psalm 35, Psalm 69, they hated him without a cause, "they that would destroy me." Okay, and they're winking with the eye. So here you have people that are conspiring together to kill Jesus Christ, and when we look at that information in the Psalms, they're winking by doing it. And this is a conspiracy by definition, because you see there in Mark 3, 6, "The Pharisees went forth straightway and took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him." So you have these two groups of people getting together, meeting in secret, no doubt. If you're plotting to murder somebody, you're probably not doing it out in the open, right? So here you have people getting together, meeting in secret, plotting to murder, to destroy somebody. And when we go back in Psalms, they are the ones that are winking as they're doing this. I'll just give you another verse. Psalm 11 and verse 18. Not Psalm. Mark, pardon me. Mark 11 and verse 18. "And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine." So these are some of the ones that are hating him without a cause. The scribes and the chief priests, they're trying to destroy him. They're the ones that are hating him without a cause. They're the ones that are winking, coming up with these schemes to kill him. And then one more in Matthew 27 and verse 20. "But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus." Now, I don't know when they persuaded the multitude if they did it with a wink. Pilate said, "What will we do with him?" And they gave him a wink, you know, destroy him. I don't know. But it says that they that hated him without a cause, that tried to destroy him, winked with the eye, right? So could they have been winking, getting the crowd in an uproar, like, "Hey, this is the time, call for his crucifixion"? I don't know, but it's certainly possible. So there's an example of people winking with the eye, signaling their intentions to their co-conspirators when you put all those verses together. And then from Job, we see that winking with the eyes is a sign that a man has turned his spirit against God. Certainly this was the case with the men that called for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If you'd known me, you'd known my Father." They both hated me and my Father, right? They turned their hearts against God, which is evidenced by them conspiring against him. Job 15, 12 through 13. Job 15, 12 through 13. It says, "Why doth thine heart carry thee away, and what do thy eyes wink at, that thou turnest thy spirit against God and lettest such words go out of thy mouth?" So you have somebody here turning against God, letting words go out of their mouth. These are evil words, and their eyes are winking at it. They're winking that they might turn against, or that thou turnest against God. So this is evidence that they've turned against God. They're winking with the eye, causing sorrow. Now, John Gill said, commenting on Proverbs 6:13, which is the verse that we looked at quite a while ago. Let's just go ahead and read that verse. This is also referring about wicked people winking with the eye in doing so to communicate nonverbally. Let's just start with verse 12, Proverbs 6:12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. It's all this nonverbal stuff, you know, tapping somebody's foot under the table or, secret handshakes and things like that, or hand symbols that you're giving to people, right, conveying this information. And John Gill has this to say. He said, "It is the air and gesture of a sneering and deceitful man who gives the wink to some of his friends, sneering at the weakness of another in company, or as signifying to them some secret design of his against another, which he chooses not to declare in any other way." So Gill had the same idea about this passage, and I think he's right. I think this is what this is referring to. Now, there's also another way in which somebody that winks with the eye causes sorrow, and that is that first definition of shutting the eyes. If you look in Proverbs 16, 29 through 30, Proverbs 16, 29 through 30, it says, "A violent man enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things, moving his lips he bringeth evil to pass." So this is winking by definition, with the first definition, shutting his eyes. He shuts his eyes and he devises froward things. He needs to think about this. He needs to close his eyes, shut out all the other distractions, and just really think about screwing somebody, killing somebody, robbing somebody. You don't want any distractions when you're trying to think about something like that. It's important business, right? Turn the TV off, right? Make sure you can really focus wholeheartedly on doing your malfeasance. That's what these people do. Now, it says there that he that winks with his eye causeth sorrow. So whatever type of winking with the eye is under consideration, it's evil. We know that much because it causes sorrow. So it's not winking at somebody just to, smile at them or show them that you like them, right? Some people do that, right? When you're, some people are pretty good at winking. I have to really try and I'm not a winker, but some people are pretty good at that.
It's a little bit scary when you do it.
Yeah, I wink at her and it creeps her out, but. But some people are, can do it pretty well. But this is not that. This is an evil type of winking because it causes sorrow. Kind of like it does for my wife when I wink at her. It causes her sorrow too, but for a different reason. Right, exactly.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's not sorrowful.
It's more pathetic than anything else, I think. But
I think Braden can only wink one eye. I don't.
Oh, really?
I don't think he can do this. See, he's trying to shoot right-handed.
Oh, he can't shut the other one.
That.
Oh, yeah.
It's backwards to him.
Yeah. Sorrow. So it causes sorrow. Sorrow is distress of mind caused by loss, suffering, disappointment, etc. Grief, deep sadness or regret. Also that which causes grief or melancholy, affliction, trouble. So this type of winking, whatever it is causing distress, grief, suffering, disappointment, sadness. I mean, it's causing some really bad effects here. So this is not just a cute wink. It's said, you've probably heard this saying, I'm sure, that the eye is the window of the soul, right? I'm sure you've heard that saying before. And you can generally, maybe sometimes you could read somebody wrongly, but usually you can see an evil person. And you can see the look in their eye. You can see somebody that's up to no good a lot of times by the look in their eye. Like, for instance, that kid down in Texas that killed all those elementary school kids. I'm sure you heard about that. And it looks like this, from what I read, was probably actually a real deal and not some faked thing, as far as I can tell. But anyway, you look at the pictures of that kid, and he looks like a soulless lizard. I mean, there's that kid, he just looks evil, right? And that's the whole thing is very sad, but anyway, you can see just some people, you can just see evil within their eyes. Some people actually have what the Bible calls an evil eye, and it reveals their evil heart within them. Proverbs 23, 6 through 7. I think women are probably more perceptive at that than men are. A lot of times women can just tell a creep. They can just look at a guy and just feel uncomfortable, like there's just something wrong with that guy. And dogs, too. There's no correlation between the two. But dogs also can, a lot of times, they can pick out a bad guy just from whatever sense they have. They can figure it out, sometimes when people can't. Proverbs 23, 6 through 7 says, Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So he's got an evil eye, and he's got an evil heart behind that evil eye. And if you learn to identify that look in the eye, then you can kind of sometimes figure out what's going on in the heart, or at least if you can't figure out what's going on in there, you just know that it's something not good, and this is somebody you want to stay away from. And speaking of the evil eye, if you go over to Proverbs 28 and verse 22, people that haste to be rich have an evil eye. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 28 and verse 22. And I'm going to tie some things together here from this point. Proverbs 28, 22, it says, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." I think sometimes you see just a greedy person, and you can see it in their eyes, right? You can see that there's something going on in there. He that hasteth to be rich, you can look right into his soul, and you can see that there's something bad going on inside there. Jesus said that such people have eyes that are full of darkness because they're serving money rather than serving God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 21 through 24. And we'll kind of tie this in with the winking with the eye here in a minute. Matthew chapter 6, 21 through 24. It says, For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So tied here to serving money rather than serving God, and to having money being your treasure in your heart, and your heart is there, right, tied into that is the eye being the light of the body or the darkness of the body. And those that are serving money and not serving God, they're full of darkness. They have an evil eye. And that really makes sense when you compare it with what Paul said about the love of money in 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. It's not wrong to have money. It's wrong to love money. There's a big difference between having it and loving it. And you don't have to have a lot of it to love it. Now, granted, there are a lot of rich people that love money, but, you know, there's a lot of poor people that love money, too, and they'd do just about anything to get it if they could. So you don't have to be rich to love money. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. Now, I want you to notice a couple of words here, because remember what he said. I'm going to tie this all together. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. And I'm going to draw your attention to a couple of words here, which has to do with the love of money, which has to do with the evil eye. It's going to kind of all come together, I hope. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 9, but they that will be rich, not that they that are rich, but they that will be, they that want to be rich. That's the problem. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and what? Hurtful lusts. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. Right? Sorrow is hurtful. They fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many what? Sorrows. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. He's got an evil eye. So such men wink with the eye, to close business deals, for instance. Right? These men that have a love of money, that want to be rich, that have an evil heart, they have an evil eye, they wink with the eye to get that money, to close that business deal. Right? They sometimes wink to signal their nefarious intentions. And they also often figuratively close their eyes to the unethical things which they're doing to get rich. So they can wink in the sense of signaling to somebody to do something, or they can wink in the sense of closing their eyes to turning a blind eye, as they say, to these things that we're doing that really aren't right, you know, they're really not legal, and even if they're legal, they're not moral, they're not ethical, but man, if I close this deal, I'm going to make a lot of money, and I don't really care about whatever it is. I'm dumping, you know, 1,000 gallons of pollutant in the river or whatever, whatever the thing is, right? I'm screwing somebody out of their house or something like that, getting somebody to sign onto some loan they'll never be able to pay and they're going to be strapped at this huge interest rate or something, whatever, whatever the deal is, you know, they're just turning their blind eye to that. They're winking at it.
Going back to that verse in 1 Timothy, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, that's verse 10. Does that mean they also cause themselves sorrows?
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
God's, is that like God's signature?
Mm-hmm. That they fall into the net that they've set. And, yep. Yeah, it's harmful to themselves as well.
So that's, that phrase refers to them harming mm-hmm. themselves. Oh,
yeah.
Solely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's the next point. They cause sorrow both to themselves and to others. And finishing up on this half of the verse, I will quote you what Matthew Henry had to say about this verse, Proverbs 10:10. He said, "He that winks with the eye, as if he took no notice of you, when at the same time he is watching an opportunity to do you an ill turn, that makes signs to his accomplices when to come into assistance with into assist him in executing his wicked projects, which are all carried on by trick and artifice, causes sorrow both to others and to himself." I think Matthew Henry must have stayed up late when he wrote that one, because that doesn't sound quite as good as a lot of his other stuff does, just as how it flows. But anyway. Yeah, him on his worst day is probably better than most of the rest of us on our best. So yeah, you can't really get on him too much. Okay, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. A fool is one deficient in judgment or sense, one who acts or behaves stupidly, a silly person, a simpleton. In biblical use, applied to vicious and impious persons. And then there's a note here in the OED, and it says, the word has in modern English, which is King James 1611 English, the word has in modern English a much stronger sense than it had at any earlier period. It has now an implication of insulting contempt, which does not in the same degree belong to any of its synonyms or to the derivative foolish. So it's a pejorative. It's when the Bible calls somebody a fool, it is really really trying to cut you down, basically. It's not just referring to some guy that
it's
you know
not the
does
funny,
some
funny,
silly
ha-ha
thing.
Ha-ha
no.
That people
no. Not at all.
Consider it now.
Exactly. A prating fool shall fall, it says. Prating is that prates, talking idly, chattering. And to prate is to talk or chatter, usually dislogistic, implying speaking much or long to little purpose. Formerly also to speak insolently, boastfully, or officiously, to tell tales, blab. So a prating fool is one who talks a lot and then not just talking about how's the weather and, you know, whatever else, but talking insolently, boastfully, that kind of guy. The guy that you've probably met people like these before that just, they love talking about themselves and bragging about themselves. And you know, Donald Trump, people like that, right? That just love to, the people that won't shut up and love especially to talk about themselves and to boast themselves and puff themselves up. And that's a prating fool. Fools are known by their much speaking, to little purpose, I will add. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 3, I'll just give you a couple of verses here, as if you didn't know this already. But Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 3 says, a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. So most of the time, when you find somebody that just talks incessantly, they're not a wise person. Right. Even if a wise person, if he is wise and he does maybe have a lot to say, he'll restrain himself. He'll hold himself back because he doesn't want to sound like a fool. He doesn't want to be that guy that just, you know, even though he knows a lot of stuff, it just doesn't ever stop. Right. So sometimes it's hard if you're interested in a particular topic and you know a lot about it. And then you have somebody else that asks you about it and it's just diarrhea of the mouth. Right. And you have to back up, say, okay, calm down here, or I'm going to wear people out. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 14. It says, a fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be or what shall be after him. Who can tell him? Fool's full of words. Now, because a prating fool will not receive God's commandments, he will fall. A prating fool shall fall. Now, if we compare this with Proverbs 10 and verse 8, just a couple of verses back, which we looked at here a couple of weeks ago, we see the same second phrase, a prating fool shall fall, but the first phrase shows us why the prating fool falls. Proverbs 10 and verse 8 says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. So the prating fool won't receive commandments is the implication there, and he falls because of that. So we'll just review a little information that we covered before. Why will the prating fool fall? Well, he doesn't receive God's commandments, and therefore he's going to fall by his own wickedness. He's not going to listen to God's commandments. He's going to do what he wants. And when God's commandments say, don't do this, and he does that, well, he's going to fall by his own wickedness. Proverbs 11 and verse 5 says, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Righteousness is conforming yourself to the law of God, right? That's the definition of righteousness. John the Baptist's parents, it was said that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances blameless. So the righteous man keeps God's law, and therefore he directs his way. The wicked man doesn't keep God's law, he doesn't receive God's commandments, and therefore he's going to fall, because he's going to sin. And when you sin, you fall, right? That's what happens. He's going to fall because of his pride is another one. Remember Proverbs 16 and verse 18. Everybody probably knows this verse. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. A prating fool will fall. Now, a prating fool is proud by definition, because you remember the definition of prate was to speak insolently, boastfully, or officiously. That's a description of somebody that's proud, that speaks boastfully. So the prating fool is full of pride, and therefore he's headed for a fall. There's another verse that says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, right? So the Bible has numerous warnings about pride and its destructive tendencies. He will fall into mischief because he doesn't have or heed God's commandments. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. Proverbs 24:16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. See, the just man will fall too. Every one of us, we mess up, we sin, we fall, we get back up, right? The just man falls seven times and continues to get up. But the wicked man, he falls into mischief. And he stays in mischief. He doesn't get back up and repent and try to do better next time. He just enjoys it. And Proverbs 28:18 tells us that he will fall at once because of his perverse ways. Proverbs 28 and verse 18. It says, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. Prating fool shall fall, and quickly, if he's perverse in his ways. So I would exhort you to take Solomon's warning that a prating fool shall fall, because he said it twice in this chapter, only two verses apart. So, you know, it's one thing if he says it twice in the book of Proverbs, and if you read a proverb a day, which, you know, I don't know if Solomon recommended that, but I certainly do, right? If you do that, and if he said it in, say, chapter 2, and then in chapter 28, you know, it's almost a month before you're going to hear it again, right? But then 28 to 2 is not that far. Yeah. But if it was, say, 1 to 15, right, it's going to be 2 weeks before you're going to hear it again. But in this one, he says it two verses later. So it's almost as if he wants to drive it into his son's head that a prating fool shall fall. Makes sense to me. Because if you, repetition's the best way to learn, but the repetition has to be fairly close in time. That's why it's good if you read something, read it again the next day, review it again the next day, and that helps to get it in your head. So it appears to me that Solomon must be trying to get us to remember this. A prating fool is less dangerous than the man who winks with the eye. That's the first guy that we looked at. For the blabbering fool only destroys himself, while the other causes sorrow to others. Right? He that winketh with the eye causes sorrow, maybe to himself, but also to others. But the prating fool, he's pretty much only going to harm himself, and he's going to irritate other people that have to listen to him, but he's not going to do any real serious lasting damage. But the guy that winks with the eye tries to conspire to murder you or rob you or, you know, set you up, right, that kind of thing, he can cause a lot of damage to other people. So that takes care of Proverbs 10 and verse 10, and that was a short one. It was only 31 minutes, but we will cover verse 11 next time, Lord willing. Just a quick note at the end of the sermon. The most important thing a believer in Jesus Christ can do is to be a member of one of God's true churches. If you're not already a member of one, go to pastorwagner.com/churches to see if there is a true church or other believers of like faith near you. That's pastorwagner.com/churches.